in the house and I turned on Christian TV because that's what pastors do in their spare time. And so a lot of times we watch hunting shows. But the reality is I turned it on and I didn't know who she was. She was singing and I just sat there and wept because I praise God for the gift that He gives to the church. You know, people are gifts. You're a gift. We are gifts in the church, and the talents that God has brought into the church, and the praise and worship that God has brought in the church. And I was just so amazed that this music that was coming out of a little church in Australia, and that now it's not so little. But I just praise God for the praise and worship He's poured out on the earth. And it truly is the tabernacle of David that is prophesied in Joel, was prophesied in Acts chapter 16, that in the last days you're going to see the Gentiles rising up and praising God in a manifest way unto the Lord. Father, right now we pray and ask that You just bless the Word of God today. I ask You to anoint it with grace and power. I ask You to make it a living Word. The grass fades, the flower fades, and the grass withers. But, Father, Your Word will last forever and stand forever. And so, Father, we pray and ask today that this would become an engrafted living Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have gone through the series on the tabernacle. And out of that, we found that in Exodus 25, that God wanted to meet with Israel. And so out of that meeting, we found out that God said, I want to meet with you and I want to commune with you. And I dealt with the communion portion, that it means shared responsibilities, shared blessings, responsibilities, and shared benefits. And so the last four sermons I've preached on the responsibilities. Amen? So everybody knows the responsibilities that you have to God. Paul says, I beseech ye, brethren, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of everything that God has done for you, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Yeah. So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. You all know that. Amen? Yeah. And so we go down the list of things that God had told us to do in the New Testament for getting off the assembling. Submit yourselves to godly authority. Submit yourselves one to another. Offer the sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise continually with the fruit of your lips. Do good one to another. Everybody say, do good. We are supposed to go around doing good. We're supposed to renew our minds by the washing of the water with the Word. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if you want your faith level encouraged, you want your faith level built, what do? You hear the Word of God. That's why you're here today. David says in Psalms 103, forget not the Lord in all His benefits. And if you turn there and you read that, David begins to talk about the benefits. And the first thing he says, he is forgiven our iniquities and our transgressions. That's the greatest thing God has done for you, is He has forgiven your sin and made you acceptable unto Him, that you can walk into the glory of God boldly through the throne of grace for help in time of need. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has made you acceptable to Him again. You can now conversate with God. You can now speak with God and talk with God. And David said, forget not that all His benefits. How many know God has benefits? So I would be remiss as a pastor if all I told you were responsibilities and didn't remind you of all the benefits that God has. How many know your God has benefits? Your God has mighty benefits. And I tell people they're looking for a job. Everybody's looking for a job with benefits. But I tell you, when I was looking for a God, I wanted a God that had benefits. And I found out there is a God, and He is in heaven, and He does have benefits. And His name is Yahweh, and His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is one of the benefits of God. Jesus Christ is one of the benefits of God, the living, risen Savior. That is a benefit that God gave me. That I have somebody that has become my propitiation, somebody that has made a way for me to be acceptable unto God, that when God looks at me, He sees me in Christ, and so He always finds me acceptable in Christ and through Christ, so I can come boldly to God through Christ in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for help in time of need. I praise God that I can go to God through Jesus Christ, and that's a benefit above all benefits. I'm telling you that you can go to God for help in time of need. The reality is, how many know that even in the Christian walk, you go through things and vicissitudes and difficulty, and that just because you're a Christian does not mean you're immune to some of the things that happen in this earth and the vicissitudes of life? How many found out that when you're a Christian, sometimes things just happen beyond your control, above your control, and you wonder, God, where are You in this situation? Anybody ever wonder that situation? Well, the reality is, I want to talk about the benefits of God. But I'm going to have to talk from a situation of a life that was lived in the Old Testament. And I want to talk about a man that had an amazing trajectory. He had amazing prophecy over his life. In fact, God had given him a dream. The dream was so big that when he told his father and he told his brothers thought he was crazy. His father said, well, son, you know, really, what do you think you're doing that you're going to rule over your mother and I? And have you ever dreamed of big that was bigger than anybody around you? Have you ever, God ever given you a word that's bigger than everybody around you, even your own family, even your own pastor, even your own... If you serve God long enough, He'll give you a word that's bigger than your situation. God wants to speak to us. God died so He could have a conversation with us. And so God wants to speak to our lives. And so I want to talk about the vicissitudes of the life of a man named Joseph. Anybody ever know about the man Joseph? I think that we preach Joseph. And the reality is we preach, literally, we couch in just 17 years of Joseph's life. Or excuse me, 13 years of Joseph's life, from 17 to 30. But how many know that between 0 and 70, when he was born in 17, Joseph had a pretty amazing life? But how many know that after 30, Joseph had an unbelievably amazing life? And we as preachers in the church, generally when we teach in this time frame of the 13 years between 17 and 30 and all that he went through and all the different things that happened to him and all of the ups and downs and ins and outs and the things that happened where the enemy came against his dream, tried to kill his dream, tried to kill him. And we preach and we minister that and we don't get past the age of 30. Well, how many know that Joseph lived a life past 30? And the amazing thing is, I did not know this, and this is going to blow your mind. I was raised in the church, heard sermons all my life. I never got past Joseph's life at the age of 30 until about 20 years ago. I was raised and believed, yes, God raised Joseph up. He was now the governor of Egypt. And in that process, God blessed him. Yeah, he gave him a wife and he had two kids and he lived happily after. And I never looked into the life of Joseph of what he did from 30 to 110. And I'm going to talk about in this series what Joseph did from 30 to 110. Because Joseph in the Bible is a man that is Christ-like. He's the image of Christ. He's a figurine of Christ that is coming. And there are 33 parallels or even more between Jesus Christ and Joseph. And we're going to look at the aspects of Joseph's life that made him an extraordinary man. And so the reality is in our life, how many have ever gone through some difficult situations? Well, some hands aren't up. God bless you. You're praying for everybody after service is over. You're praying for me. You're anointing me. But we know Joseph's life was tempestuous, favored of his father, loathed by his brothers. He had ups and downs. He's nurtured by his father. His father gives him a coat of many colors. And he bestows on him in that the family anointing. He has given him the family crest. You are going to be the leader of the family. And he has a dream that he shares his dream. And many times Bible scholars and I have often wondered, should Joseph have shared his dream? I can tell you there are some times and some places and some things you need to be careful who you share your dreams with. I'm just going to tell you there are some people you need to be careful who you share your dreams with. But Joseph's on a great trajectory and one day his father sins. And you know all this, but I'm going to tell you the part of the story you don't know here at the end. And so I'm going to just remind you of just the ups and downs, but I want to get to one particular part of the story. That it has everything to do with the first song we sang. And I never look at the songs we sing. I never do. And I didn't know if message was for today until that first song. And then I knew, my God, this is, my goodness, my God, this is today's message. Here it is. And for somebody here today. So I don't get involved in the praise and worship. I don't pick songs. I don't do any of that. And a lot of times God will confirm to me what the message is by the praise and worship from the day. And so Joseph's on this great trajectory in an amazing thing. Favored of his father, given a word by God. And deep down, the Bible says, and Jacob, his father, knew that that dream was from God. Jacob knew that this is crazy, but it's from God. He knew that. And he tells it Joseph one day, he says, I want you to go visit your brothers. And he was just going along and everything was fine. And one day, all hell breaks loose in his life. One day, just everything goes wrong in an instant, in a moment. He didn't see it coming. He didn't know what was going to happen. And thinking you're going to go hang out with your brothers. And you come to your brothers and first thought is to kill you. They wrestle you down. They take your coat. And then here's what they do. They throw Joseph in a pit and they go and eat lunch. That's what they did. That's what they did. They throw him in a pit and then they go have lunch. And have to begin a discussion of what they're going to do and how they're going to explain this to their father. Can you imagine that? Going to your brothers and your own brothers, your own family throwing you in a pit. I don't want to show a hands, but sometimes family members can do more damage to you than anybody else because of the proximity and how close they are to you. And the reality is everybody said amen. Amen. So his own brothers throw him in a pit. The brothers are the same father. Same anointing on the family. And the reality is, when people put you in pit, and especially family people put you in pit, you need to understand that when this happens, you better get ready because God is up to something. You better get ready. When people throw you in pits, God may be up to something. If you're born again and you know God and He has given you a word and somebody throws you in a pit, you better get ready and you better understand something. God is probably up to something. God just might, because the devil does not want to see the plan of God work out and the plan of salvation work out in your life. So his brothers throw him in a pit. And brothers, it's not the physical pain of the pit. It's the pain in the spirit and the soul and the heart that now you have a memory that lingers. And I know everybody in this room understands somebody you have not been able to let go of. Some situation you have not been able to let go of. And his very own brothers, who he's looking for love from and acceptance, they try to kill him. They found envy and jealousy towards him. And the reality is, they could have just been envious and jealous of him. But they set out to kill him. They were not just envious and jealous. They set out. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are some people that are envious and jealous of you, but they won't end there. They won't stop there. They will go farther than that against you. They will. And they could have just left him alone, but they didn't. And the reality is, haters think they can bring that. Haters think that bringing you down pulls them up. That's what haters think, and they don't understand. Killing your brother won't make your life better. They never will get that. And so Joseph is in the pit of despair, and I want you to think about this. He's in a pit, and his rescue is slavery. The rescue that saves his life is being sold into slavery. The thing that saves his life... You know his brother sold him, the Bible says, for 20 shekels? You know what that's worth today in today's dollars? $12.50. That's what they sold him for. $12. Say with me, $12.50. Jesus was $18. That's what they sold Jesus for, $18. And the reality is, what is it when you know what your life is worth to somebody? And that it really isn't valuable to your own flesh and to your own blood. That is a difficult thing to deal with in the spirit and in the soul. What if slavery saved his life? And the fact is it did. What if what I'm going through right now is saving me from something worse? What if what I'm going through right now, this is for somebody, I don't know who it is. What if what I'm going through right now is saving me from something worse? What if I got fired so I didn't get electrocuted? Okay, I'll let you think about that one. What if what you're going through right now is saving you from something worse? My God, I need you to understand what I'm saying is, they throw him in a pit and we wonder, where's God? And it just happens that some Ishmaelites just happen to be coming by at the very moment they throw him in a pit. Now say with me, I know where God is. I know where God is right now. I know where He is. They were going to kill him. They had made out and said in their mind to kill him. And it just so happened that a train of Ishmaelite traders comes by. And Joseph survives the pit, praise God. I know there's things that you have survived. And the reality is, he gets out of the pit. He gets sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. And you all know the story, but I got to get to this to get where I'm going. And he ends up a slave in Potiphar's house. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man as a slave. He was a prosperous man as a slave. He was a prosperous man as an employee. He was a prosperous man as a husband. She was prosperous as a wife. My God, do you know God can prosper you anywhere, at any time, in any place if you have the right attitude and an excellent spirit towards God? He was prosperous as a slave. Say it with me, he was prosperous as a slave. My God, only our God can do that. And things are going good. He's prospering. He's managing the whole house of Potiphar. He's basically a slave, but he has autonomy in his life now. And then, because somebody loves him the wrong way, he's now cast into prison. Potiphar's wife takes a liking to him. She sets her sights on him, tries to get him to lay with her. He will not lay with her. And the reality is, he says something very interesting. How could I do this sin against God? How could I do this against God? And because he did the right thing and somebody loved him the wrong way, he ends up in a prison. And now what you don't realize, the reality, most of the time that Joseph spent in Egypt was in prison, not in Potiphar's house. So say with me, Joseph is now in prison. Let me tell you something. When you're in prison, your dreams go to prison with you. Your family goes to prison with you. When you're in prison, your dreams die and everything dies with that when you go to prison. And the reality is, now that Joseph is in prison, I could imagine him thinking, because do you understand that prison saved his life? How many understand this? Prison saved his life. Because prison, Potiphar was the keeper of the prison in Egypt, okay? He was the keeper of the king's prison. And Jewish scholars will tell you the reason that Potiphar did not kill Joseph. The reason that Potiphar did not kill Joseph is he knew his wife was a tramp. I'm sorry for my advice. That's what she was. And to save face, he had an option. And his option was, I'll put him in prison to save face for myself. Because I got to do something here. I can't kill my wife. And he doesn't want to kill Joseph because we know he loved Joseph. And prison kept Joseph alive. What if what you're going through right now is keeping you from something worse? So why can't you begin to praise God for what you're going through right now? Because it might be keeping you from something worse. Because the reality is, Joseph was a Semite. He had accosted an Egyptian woman who was royalty. She was royalty in Egypt. She was the house of Potiphar. In Potiphar's line, whoever his son was going to take over the house. That's the way it went. She was royalty. He had assaulted royalty. Do you know what the penalty for assaulting royalty was in Egypt? Yeah. Death. Yes. Instantaneous, right now, boom. Off with their head. That was what was going to happen. But God had made another way of escape. And prison saved Joseph's life. My God. Prison saved his life. Prisons, what you're going through right now might saved you from something worse? The way we look at things sometimes is so important to how we see where God is working. How many really believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose? How many really believe that? Then we ought to be the happiest people praising God all the time. The fruit of salvation of our lips, the praise of salvation, the fruit of our lips, continually unto God, even when things are not going right. Even when things are going difficult. I just want you to know something. Prison saved Joseph's life. It saved his life. Potiphar had an out. Can you imagine at the meeting of Potiphar and his friends? You didn't do anything to this guy. And the reality is they knew Potiphar's wife. And if you study Hebrew writers, they'll tell you, Potiphar knew. Potiphar knew. Say with me, Potiphar knew. And he loved Joseph. And he had an out. And he had a way of escape that he could save Joseph alive. Jail had become something that saved Joseph's life. The Bible says, in prison, cream. How many know cream rises to the top? How many know cream rises to the top? How many know that what God has put in you will rise to the top? Have you ever had the nice of God in you tick you off because you were nice to people when you didn't want to be, but the Spirit of God was in you and you had to be nice to people that you know you didn't want to be nice to, and you were nice to them anyway because the Spirit of God says, you do this. Does your nice ever make you mad? My nights sometimes make me mad. Because there's times I want to tell off, and the Spirit of God said, don't you tell them off. Your words will come back and circle back on you. They'll haunt you. They'll hurt you. Don't. You just love them. And I love you with that. And you give them that love of the Lord. But you know deep down, sometimes my nights is hard on me. And he's in the prison. And all of a sudden, there's a situation where two men have a dream, a baker and a butler. And Joseph says, God has given me the gift. Tell me your dreams. And he tells one his dreams, and that happens exactly to the baker. He tells the butler his dreams, and that happens, and the butler is lifted up and elevated. And Joseph asked him one thing. He said, remember me when it is well with you. Remember me when it is well with you. And how many remember how long the butler remembered him? Your Bible says, and he forgot. The day he got out of prison, he forgot Joseph. And how is it that you can help other people and not help yourself? You can pray for other people and you don't get healed. You can bless other people and yet your life's a mess. You can prophesy at other situations and you're waiting for God to work the prophecy of your life out. Can you imagine Joseph after the butler's established and he's thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to put a word in for me. And going back to your cell, night after night. Anybody know how long that lasted? 2 years. 2 years. And all of this happens before 30 years old. All that he's been through happens before he's 30 years. When he's young, when he's tender, when he's impressionable. Do you think that the enemy plans to destroy your life by doing something to you when you're young? You better count on it. The enemy's like, man, this guy's had a dream. I'm afraid of that dream. That dream scares me. And so I'm going to get this kid messed up. I'm going to get him hurt. I'm going to get him inside that his heart is bleeding, his soul is bleeding, and he'll never be able to let go of this. He will never be able to walk into the dimension of the dream because of the dimension of the pain. He'll never get over this. Satan has a plan to do that to every person in this room. And not all this, only all this happens to Joseph physically, but it happens to him spiritually and mentally and emotionally. And now it's happened to his dream, and his dream is now crippled and fading. See, the Bible says that when a dream falls into a pit, it can make your soul sick. Proverbs 18:4 says, a broken spirit, who can bear it? So when you go to jail, so does your dream. And so he's in the prison now, and you all know the story. Looks like the dream is death. He's gifted, but he's still... Do you know Joseph had a life sentence for jail? Do you know that was his sentence? It was a life sentence. It wasn't 10 years and then parole. It was not 10 years, 20 years and then parole. It was a life sentence. Say it with me. Joseph's sentence was a life sentence. My goodness. I'm here in this situation. Lord, how long am I going to be with this life sentence? Sometimes you wonder what kind of fool you are when you help other people and you can help other people in their situations and you can't change your own situations. Other people are getting ahead and I'm still in the same place. I'm praying for them. And after Joseph helps the butler, I'm sure he thought, well, Lord, any day, any day, any day. And what we don't get in our spirit is how assaulted Joseph's spirit is. How assaulted his soul has been. Your brothers tried to kill you. Not your neighbors. Not people that didn't know you. Your very own blood tries to kill you. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He sold into slavery for $6.50 by his brothers. Don't tell me that wouldn't begin to work on your soul. And begin to understand how assaulted the heart and the spirit can be. Then one day there's a knock on the prison door. One day there's a knock on the prison door and we look at that and we think, oh my goodness, how amazing, how exciting is. Pharaoh wants to see you. Pharaoh chops heads off regular. Okay. Does he want to kill me? What does Pharaoh want to do? But he steps out in faith and the Bible says he makes himself prepared. And in the preparation, he shaves his beard because he's a Semite, so he had to have a beard. And you cannot stand before an Egyptian. And God begins to work and he begins to understand, what if God is in this process of opening up a door? That yes, I might get killed, but yes, God might intervene. Yes, God might move. Yes, God, what if the situation you're in, that opportunity knocks, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready when opportunity knocks? Because in God, I'm going to tell you something. Opportunity always knocks. In God, opportunity always knocks. In God, opportunity. If you're serving Him, if you're faithful to Him, if you will live with an excellent spirit, ask Daniel, opportunity knocks. Ask Joseph, opportunity knocks. Ask Peter, opportunity knocks. You need to look in the Bible. If you're serving God and you are living before God, and if you have a humble, contrite spirit before God and you're living with an excellent spirit, opportunity will knock, I promise you. And Joseph says, maybe I might get killed, I need you to understand this moment. He's been through 13 years of bad. 13 years of pain. And now Pharaoh wants to see me, and I have no idea what he wants. I have no idea what he wants. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shave. I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to make myself presentable. Just in case today is the day that God is knocking and it's really not Pharaoh. That God is knocking and it's really not Pharaoh. And the reality is Pharaoh has need of his gift, not of him. He just has needs of his gift. I hear you can interpret dreams. I've had a dream. Here's my dream. You better come up with something good pretty fast. There were seven cattle and they went out and they were eating the fat. Y'all know the story. And 7 ears of corn. You're on, buddy. What is a dream? What is he going to say? And I love what Joseph says. This is what he says to Pharaoh. He said, "It is not in me, but God will give you an answer." He said, "It's not me, it's God in me." Say with me, "It's not me, it's God in me." He said, "It's not in me, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." And what I love about this, Joseph, just amazing to me. He doesn't come with just an interpretation to the dream. He comes with a solution to the problem. And you should find a wise man, a discreet man, who would know how to handle the business of Egypt and know how to handle the affairs of Egypt. And you should look for such a man. You should look for such a man. Man, do you know when to speak by the power of God under the anointing of God? This was a job opportunity. This was a job interview. My God. You should seek a man, a discreet man. And there he is, waiting for the answer. What is Pharaoh going to do? This man's been through a lot of hurt. He's been through a lot of pain. He's been through brutality at a level that many of us can't even fathom or function with. And Pharaoh gives him an answer. And he puts a necklace around him. He puts a ring on his finger. And he says, "You shall be second in Egypt, second to none, only behind me. And you shall be in charge of all the affairs." Can you imagine at 30 years old, Pharaoh puts him in charge of the gross national product of Egypt, the largest and most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and Joseph's now in charge. There's no pressure here, is there? You're in prison yesterday and in the palace today? God can take you from a prison to a palace in one day? God can change your situation in one day? God can change your situation? God can turn 6.5 acres into 9.74 acres in one day? One day? One day, my God, give Lord praise. That's what He did. One day, changed it. You can't believe what God will do. You gave Him a chance in one day. Hallelujah. I'm going to make you governor of Egypt. Everybody knows that story. But when your gift brings you before great men, only character will keep you there. See, your gift, and God has given a gift to each and every one of us. Your gift will bring you before great men. But it's the character of God that will keep you there. So God gives Joseph this amazing gift. And He interprets the dream for Pharaoh, and it's favorable unto Pharaoh. You know, sometimes it's hard to get happy over something that's so good, that it's so good that it seems to be true. Because you know what the human spirit says? Will it last? Will it last? Am I the only pessimist in here? Will it last? I know I'm not the only pessimist in here. But what God wants to do is take away that pessimistic spirit and give you an optimistic spirit. We preach like this happened over his whole life. 30 years. We preach like it lasted forever. It didn't. It didn't. This happened between 17 and 30. It happened before he was 30 years old. And I'm really honestly about to get happy over this. I really am. And I suppose you want to know too, because you want to be happy too. There's a day it all ends. There's a day the cycle stops in God. There's a day the hell and the problems and the difficulties stop. And the cycle of pain ends in God. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you in this study for the next 70 years. No, 80 years. The pain and the problems stop. Oh, I understand that, Joseph, yes, I understand that. How many think that Joseph didn't have to deal with some jealous Egyptians along the way? How many think that they all just thought, oh, we're so glad Pharaoh raised this Hebrew, this Semite up. And then he gives her the most beautiful girl in Egypt, Asenath. And they're living this dream in the palace. You think every Egyptian was just happy as could be for him? Do you think there were some Egyptians that wanted to probably kill him? Well, you know there were. We all know human nature. And then Joseph does something that's so amazing. Because when you reach a point in God of being blessed, how do you stay there? How do you stay there? When God has blessed you and brought you out of a pit, brought you out of a prison, brought you out of false accusation, how do you get to a place in God where you're blessed? You know, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow to it. That's in your Bible. That is in your Bible. Two amens over that. My God. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow to it. I was preaching that to some dogs the other day. They started yelping. They got all excited about that scripture. How do I stop that cycle? See, Joseph had an excellent spirit about him. And we find out Joseph's spirit when something very profound happens in his life. Do you know the second half of the third half of the last portion of Joseph's life far exceeded all of the pain that he went through? Do you know the glory of God at the end of his life and through his life exceeded anything that he went through? Do you know the blessings of God exceeded anything and everything he went through? I'm here to tell somebody today the pain and cycle of abuse can stop. And you need to understand that. It's important that you hear me. The cycle stopped in his life once and for all. Say with me, once and for all. Somebody needs to know this today. The cycle can stop once and for all. The cycle can stop. Don't let the devil lie to you that you're cursed. Because no, the Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, He became the curse for you when He hung on that tree. You're not cursed. You're blessed. The blessing of Abraham. For this reason, He died that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile and I have the blessing of Abraham on my life. And so do you. You're not cursed. You're blessed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I rebuke oppression and sickness and disease, suicide, spirit of heaviness and frustration and fear. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. That Jesus died that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Ooh, I love that scripture. Because I was a Gentile, but now I'm grafted in. Hallelujah. From going from a prisoner to a prince in one day. A Hebrew slave now married into Egyptian royalty. He's not even Egyptian and God smiles on him. He's not even an Egyptian. My goodness. I wasn't even acceptable into the house of the Lord, but God smiled on me. Have you ever had somebody like you that didn't need you? That's one of the most amazing blessings in your life you'll ever get is some God assigns somebody to like you who doesn't need you. When somebody likes you and loves you and they don't need you, you know it's God. You know it's God. Anybody in this room ever have somebody like you that didn't need you? Show me your hand. And yeah, I guarantee you were blessed in it. I guarantee there was a blessing of God in that. It blessed your business. It blessed your house. It blessed your finances. All these tragedies going on. Can you imagine the sun on his face? Because the reality is, in Egyptian prisons, you never even saw the sun. Can you imagine the sun on a clean shaven face, standing before Pharaoh, knowing this is an opportunity? I've got to make the most of what God is giving me now. I've got to make the most of what God is giving me now. How do I make this work? I got one shot to get it right. I got one shot. Say with me, you got one shot to get it right, Joseph. And here's the secret of Joseph. He was faithful to God in bad times. He was faithful to God in tough times. But what I love about Joseph is he understood that faithful to God in bad times will elevate you and bring you before men that can change things in your life, that can bring you into a place of good things. But how do I make and keep the good things lasting? You want to know, don't you? Next week I'll tell you. In Genesis 41, all right, you talk me into it. I know it's Communion Sunday. I don't care. I don't even watch NFL football anymore, so I'm free of that. So don't worry. I'm good. I'm not going to tell you why. I just don't want you no more. In Genesis chapter 41, we learn a secret about Joseph. Joseph is now the governor of Egypt. God has blessed him with a wife. Joseph knows who his Hebrew God Yahweh is. I'm sure by this time he's converted Asenaya into the belief in Yahweh. And God blesses them with a son. And God blesses them with a son. In verse 41:51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Everybody say Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and my father's house. For God has made me forget. What does that mean? God has made me forget all my toil and my father's house. We know later on that Joseph wept when he found his brothers. When his brothers came to Egypt, the Bible says he wept sorely. He wept sorely. Let's go back to that. Because this is a secret. What did we talk today about? We saw opening song, Speak Life, Speak Life. This is what Joseph did. I'm going to name my son a blessing of God so that I say it every day. And that's what I say more than anything else. The Word of God, the promise of God, the blessing of God. I'm going to say Manasseh every day. I'm going to say Manasseh every day. Manasseh, come here. Oh, God has made me forget. Manasseh, come here. Oh, God has made me forget. Manasseh, come here. Oh, God has made me forget. Manasseh, come here. Oh, God has made me forget. Every day I have marked it. Now, I'm going to speak it every day. Manasseh, come here, son. God has made me forget. We know he still loved his brothers and missed his father. We know how sorely he wept when they came together in the palace. So what does Joseph mean when he said, God hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house? He let go of the bitterness. He let go of the hurt. He let go of the anger. So here's your mission impossible today, should you choose to accept it. Can you let go of the bitterness and the hurt and the anger without letting go of the love? Okay. See, it's okay to get rid of the anger and the hurt and the bitterness when you don't have to deal with them again ever. But the secret of Joseph is, I got rid of the bitterness, I got rid of the hurt, I got rid of the anger, but I didn't get rid of the love. Because when I found my brothers again, the Bible said Joseph saved their lives. He wept over them. And our mission, say with me, Manasseh! God has made me forget the toil of what I've been through. God has made me forget the toil. This all started with my brothers and what they did to me. For God hath made me forget all my toil and my... He said, God has made me do this. Manasseh! Come here, son. God has made it. I'm happy today. God has made me forget. God has blessed me bigger than all my problems ever were. God has blessed me so big I can't even remember my problems. God has blessed me to such a level I can't even remember all my problems. God has made me what? forget. Woo, hallelujah. God has made me forget all my toil in my Father's house. Amen?
Amen.
So he names his firstborn Manasseh. Every time he saw that boy, he said, I'm more blessed, so much farther blessed than all my toil in my Father's house. Manasseh, come here, son. God has made me forget all that I've been through, all the pain, all the misery, all the suffering. And I forgot all that, but I haven't forgot the love. I haven't forgot the love. You know, one of the men out of Potiphar's house, that Joseph takes one of the men out of Potiphar's house that caused him the most problem and took him with him into leadership in Egypt later on. I forgot the pain. I forgot all the suffering, the hatred. But I didn't forget the love. See, that's the mission impossible. Should you choose to accept it? It's an impossible mission without Christ. It's impossible without God. Can you let go of the bitterness and the hurt without letting go of the love? He said every day, Manasseh, speak life. Speak life. That's what we started with. Manasseh, I'm speaking life. God, something happens, it's a rough day. God's made me forget. Pharaoh called me up and said, man, I don't like the way you did that today. God's made me forget. Came home today, a bunch of people harassing me about Mary and Asenath. God's made me forget. Manasseh, come here, son. What do you say when things go wrong? Is it to the glory of God? Or is it to the glory of the problem? I'm just asking. This is Joseph's secret of staying in the blessing God has put him in.
Yes.
I'm giving you the secret of Joseph staying in the character that God says, your gift brought you here, but your character will keep you here. Man, I tell you what. There were some of them brothers, Reuben, who, when they came down there, he's glad. He would have been glad I wasn't there. Because Reuben might have got it. And then you know a guy named Judah? Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah? There might have been no Jesus, because Judah might have got it. I praise God that Joseph is a form of Christ. I praise God for that. See, you've got to do this because it's something God has for you. It's bigger and better than you've ever had of what God wants you to do in your life. And God said, I'll bring the opportunity, but can you keep the blessing? I'll bring the gift, but can you keep it? God wants to reap what you have sown, not harvest what you have spoken. Say with me, Manasseh! So we've got to keep it what God has said. That's why it's so important to know the Word. Speak the Word. Speak life. When things aren't going good, what do you speak? What comes out of your mouth? Manasseh! But that wasn't the only child they had. They had another little boy, and his name was Ephraim. Everybody say Ephraim.
Ephraim.
And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God can bless you right now where you're at right now.
Yes.
God can bless you in the situation you're in right now.
Amen.
We're waiting for God to bless us in the sweet by and by, but God can bless you in the land. You know, the Apostle Paul says, for these light afflictions that we endure now, do you know right now you're in the land of affliction? You're living in the land of affliction. Your home is not even here. The Bible says this isn't your country. For your home, we are sojourners here. We're passing through. Our true home is heaven.
Yeah.
This is the land of your affliction. God said, I'm going to bless you right now in the land of your affliction.
Amen.
That's Bible. Amen. Paul said, now these light afflictions that we bear, he said, they're nothing compared to the glory we're going to see. I'm ad-libbing there, but that's what it says. He says, I can bless you in the... Oh, I love this. Ephraim, come here. God has blessed me in the land of my affliction. Hey, Joseph, they just called up from the granary. It's going down there. It's going really bad. You got a couple guys stealing grain. You got this going on. Pharaoh's going to be upset. Manasseh, Ephraim, come here. Manasseh, you've blessed me, Lord. You've blessed me. Ephraim, come here. God has blessed. His vocabulary became a constant thing of what he said every day was the word of God to every situation he ever dealt with. Joseph, things aren't good down here. Boys, I don't know what you're doing up there, but stop it. God has blessed me in the land of my affliction. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And here's what we have. This is what happens in the body of Christ. We try to have Ephraim before we try to have Manasseh. This is what happens in the body of Christ. We want Ephraim without Manasseh. God, I want all your blessings. I want blessed in the land of my affliction. I want the goodness of God, the grace of God. But I don't want Manasseh. I don't want to have to forget all the toil. I don't want to have to forget those people that have done me wrong. I don't want to have to forget. Lord, I can't do that. This is your mission. So today is the day you can stop the cycle. Say with me, Manasseh. God has caused me. God has caused me to forget all my toil. And He didn't forget the love. He forgot the pain. And today in the body of Christ, and for many reasons and various reasons why it's preached, whatever, but the reality is people want Ephraim without Manasseh. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to have Manasseh first. Say with me, I've got to have Manasseh first. There's a very serious reason why Joseph named the first boy Manasseh. God has caused me to forget my toil, my father. I haven't forgot the love. I've left all the pain and the hurt. For you to get Ephraim, you have to have Manasseh. And what I want to share with you today is when we take communion today, bear Manasseh. Have Manasseh. Let go of the pain and the torment and all the thoughts. But don't let go of the love. See, there's people out there that they hurt you, but the reality is you still love them and they still love you. And somebody has got to break the cycle of hate and pain. And who would be the bigger person to do it than somebody anointed with God? His Holy Spirit. His grace. Who would be the better person to do it? Joseph's brothers or Joseph? Just tell me. Who would be the better person here to do it? It would be Joseph. Joseph had Manasseh first, brothers and sisters, and that's why he could have Ephraim. Because God said, if I can trust you with your brothers, I can trust you with everything in Egypt. If I can trust you with your brothers who tried to kill you, I can trust you with everything. Manasseh comes first, brothers and sisters. You have to have Manasseh first. And this is the genius of Joseph. He understood this. Because his brother said, after their father died, his brother said, well, now he's going to kill us. Now he's going to kill us. Now he's going to kill us. But he couldn't kill him because Manasseh was alive. He had to forgive him because Ephraim was here. And Manasseh were both here. And Manasseh and Ephraim said, no, you're going to love him. You're going to take care of him. You're going to nurture him. And you're going to nurture and love the very boys and the very brothers that tried to kill you. And God said, I'm just. And so if you look at Joseph's life, I want you to hear this. Keep doing the right thing in difficult situations. Keep doing what is right. Cream will always rise to the top and God will always bring opportunity to those living just before Him. He will always bring opportunity. I'm going to say it till you get it. He will always bring opportunity. When you live in an excellent spirit before God. So if we look at Joseph's life, 0 to 17. 17 to 30. 30 to 110. And we don't read any more of the trials and tribulations of Joseph. But I'm going to share with you in this sermon series what God did with him next. Because we ain't through with Genesis. There's a bunch more chapters here to read. We're not through yet. And God said, because you had Manasseh first, I will give you Ephraim. And out of Ephraim, I will bless you so abundantly, it will go all the way down to the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's how big the blessing was. Do you know there's a day that Ephraim becomes more anointed than Manasseh? How many know that? There's a day, you know, don't preach it. There's a day that Ephraim becomes more blessed There's a day that your blessing will get so big you can't even remember. Because when Joseph brings his boys to his daddy, and they come down there, and can you imagine that meeting? Jacob and Joseph and Manasseh and Ephraim. The Bible says that Joseph, he put his neck and wept on his father's neck for a long time. And his father said, I want to bless the boys. And Joseph put him up there and he said, this is the firstborn of Manasseh and this is the secondborn Ephraim. And Jacob did a double cross. And he blessed Ephraim with the final blessing, the greatest blessing. God will bless your blessing bigger than your pain. I read a place where Jesus, or God told Abraham, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. God will multiply your blessings so much bigger than your pain that the reality is, if you will do this, there's a day your blessing will make you forget the pain. Say with me, Manasseh! Oh, it was so strategic the name he named these two boys. He didn't get a little book. Well, what's that book? The book of baby names. Remember the book of baby names when you name your kids? Nowadays you get online, what's the most popular name? Hunter. Oh my gosh. Hunter. I believe it was inspired by God. I believe 100% God inspired this. He said, I want you to speak life. You know when your kids are little, you call their name every day. I was with my granddaughter the other day. I called her name 100 times. Ava, Ava, come here. Ava, Ava, this. Ava, this, Ava, that. Can you imagine that? Manasseh, Manasseh, Ephraim, come here. And all day long, he's speaking the goodness of what God has done. All day long, all he's doing is speaking the greatness, the glory of what God has done for him. Come here, Manasseh. When I say Manasseh, I know what God has done for me. Come here, Ephraim. We're going to be blessed beyond measure. They didn't get that out of a baby book. I believe they got it by the Spirit of God. Your words are so important. Your gift will bring you before great men, but it's your character and your words that will keep you there. Father, right now, as we get ready to take communion, I pray and ask that Spirit of the living God, I ask you to anoint this time. Because our mission is so we might accept. Would we dare to accept? Can I let go of the hurt and the pain, but still keep the love? Can I let go of the pain and all the issues that came with it, but not let go of the love? There are people out there depending on you and me to extend that hand of love today. There are people that without it, it's going to be hopeless. There are people today waiting for a hand of love from somebody they've done wrong, but they're not big enough to do it. And God has made you that man and that woman today. So I just ask you, bless this time of communion. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get ready to take communion today, I'm going to ask you to come up to the front. We're going to start off just worshiping the Lord. When you're ready, you take communion by the person of the Holy Spirit today.